Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It is wonderful to be gathered together again around our Father and around his table. And so as we do this morning, let us begin remembering the day that we were adopted into his family and the reason we're able to be here today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this opportunity to be in your presence, Lord, to be exposed to you, Lord, to be exposed to your word. Lord, we pray that you would be with us, that you would show us yourself, show us your will, show us your grace, and remind us, Lord, of the future that we have before us because of you. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, and in your name we pray. Amen. So my question is this: why do we confess our sins every week in church? I mean, doesn't it just make the church service take longer? Thing is this, I love it. I love this confession because it tells us exactly why we do this. It says this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have been forgiven once again. Let us praise the God who has forgiven us and made us his own.
Blessed be your glorious name. Kevin Shagg, one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. God is speaking to the Israelites through the prophet Malachi. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kevin. The reading Kevin just read is interesting and unique in that it is the last words of the Old Testament. It is the very end of the fourth chapter of Malachi. And interesting that the last words of the Old Testament and now the beginning of the New Testament in the very first chapter of Mark are very connected. Kind of strange how God does that, right? Yeah. Okay, here we go. Let's stand up. This is a season of anticipation, all right? We are anticipating the coming of Jesus, and who anticipates sitting down? Lynn's saying, I do. Anyway, but that's all right. But the thing is this, let's anticipate the coming of Jesus here. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 14, or 5 to 24, sorry. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were very old. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for the first 5 months remained in seclusion. This is God's word for us today. Please be seated. It is now time for the children's message. Children, come on forward. Pastor Bill, otherwise known as Dad for me, has the children's message today.
Did you hear what Pastor Bob just read from the Bible? Okay. There was a man's name. Do you remember the man's name?
Zechariah?
Yes. You were listening.
I was too.
You weren't there?
No, she said I was listening too.
Oh, you were listening. Okay, good. Good. Okay. Now, Zechariah was a priest, but he was very sad because he and his wife could not have any children. Look at all the children I have now. You know how much joy that brings?
A lot.
And Zechariah didn't have any children. And his wife Elizabeth didn't have any children, and they were very sad. So one day, he had to do a special job. He had to go into the temple, and he had to burn this incense, a special smelly stuff that's supposed to smell good, but that's a matter of opinion. Yeah, you're right. So he went in the temple to burn the incense, and while he was there at the altar of the incense, guess what happened? An angel came. Yeah, Gavin, you got it right. Okay. The angel came, and the angel told him some good news.
He wanted a baby.
Yeah.
He was going to get a baby.
That's right. The angel said, you're going to have a baby. But he didn't believe it. Why didn't he believe it?
Because
he thought it was too old. He didn't have faith, did he? He didn't have faith to believe what the angel was saying. Do you know what an angel is?
It's one of God's helpers.
Absolutely. The word angel means messenger. Okay? This is God's messenger to bring his message to Zechariah and to Zechariah's wife, Elizabeth, that they're going to have a baby. But he didn't believe it. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
That he couldn't believe it. He didn't have faith, did he?
No.
And that's the sad part, is when he didn't have faith. You know what faith is? Yes, sir.
It's like
when you really believe something.
Yeah.
That's faith. We really believe that Jesus came and lived for us and died for us so we could live with him forever in heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
We believe that. We believe that very strongly. And that's strong faith. Let's try to learn a little bit something about faith. I have here two kinds of bread. Okay.
Oh.
You know what those are?
Cross bread?
This is unleavened bread. Doesn't have any yeast. Let's pretend that yeast is faith. So this kind of bread, so would you do me a favor and help pass these out so everybody can have a taste of unleavened bread, bread without yeast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Gavin, would you pass out this bread so people can taste what bread with yeast is? So bread with yeast is kind of like us with faith. And the unleavened bread is like us without faith. Doesn't taste like anything, huh? I've heard people say it tastes like styrofoam. Which would you rather be, like the real bread or like the unleavened bread? You can go ahead and eat it.
I haven't tried it yet.
Okay, now this here is yeast. Now it doesn't seem possible that this could make that much of a difference in that bread, does it? That little bit of powder can make the difference. That's what makes the bread get puffy. That's what makes it have all the air. And so when we have...
It tastes like nothing.
It tastes like nothing, huh?
It tastes bland.
Bland, okay. And we don't want to be bland in our life, do we?
No.
And when God gives us faith, it's like the yeast that gives life to the bread. When God gives us faith, he gives us life. Makes a difference in our life, doesn't he? So that now we want to obey his commandments. We want to be his children when we have faith. We want to believe his word. How do we get faith?
By trusting God.
Yeah, if I could do that on my own, but can I?
Yeah.
No, I can't do that on my own. You know what we believe? We cannot by on our own believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gift. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit who comes to us through the Bible and our baptism and the Lord's Supper. You can eat that. Yeah. He doesn't like it. Put it in your pocket. Here, just put it in here. Okay. So God comes to us through the Bible, and we stay in Sunday school. when mom and dad are teaching us with family devotions at home, when we are in church and Sunday school, we are learning about God. And we have faith, and with that faith, we can believe what we are being taught. And we want to hang on to that faith, don't we? And that's why it's important for us to stay with God in His Word. Let's pray. Repeat after me, okay? Dear God, thank you very much for sending Jesus to give us life that will never end. Thank you, God, for giving us the faith so we can believe all that you say through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thank you.
Little worship is next for the kiddos. If anyone 4-year-old through fourth grade who wants to go to little worship, and the rest of us, let us open God's word up here and now. Let's see here. Well, Advent is the season of anticipation. Now, if the kids just left, but if I ask them what they're anticipating right now, what might be their answer? And if you ask them how far away was Christmas, what would they say? 4 weeks. It may as well be forever. You know? I mean, that's a long time, 4 weeks. Our Advent is 4 weeks. We have 4 weeks to prepare for Christmas. So tell me this. How long was God's Advent? How long was God preparing for Christmas? When did he first make the first prophecy about this time that God was going to come to earth, that this child, this special child, was going to be born? Right after Adam and Eve fell into sin, right? So, I mean, we're talking all the way back in the Garden of Eden. And from that point forward, the Father has been preparing for Christmas. And he's been busy. I mean, he had a long list of things to do. You know, like keep the world from dissipating into sin with a flood, right? And to choose a man that would become a many great nations, but especially the one nation, that nation chosen by God to be the one from whom the Messiah would come. And then he had to keep that nation both in existence by protecting them over and over again, but he also had to constantly be disciplining them and keeping them close to him so that they wouldn't lose that word that he had given them through the prophets, and that somebody would be there to recognize the Messiah when he came. God had a lot of work to do. And he was sending prophets over and over throughout the Old Testament, revealing just a little bit more all the time about what his plan was. And you can just imagine the anticipation of God by the time this text. Finally, it's time. Finally, it's time to start moving the pieces around, the last few pieces, getting all the people and all the context in the right place so that his son could be born. And the last thing that needed to be done before Jesus came was this forerunner, this Elijah person had to be put in place so that, because he was the one who, as we hear in the last verse of the Old Testament, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of their children to their parents. And what do we hear about John in the text for today? That's exactly why he was coming. And so how excited is God by this time? I mean, anticipation. His plan is about to come together. So now let's talk about Zechariah, the other character in our story, right? So what do we know about him? He's old, and he has no children. And he's a priest, right? So he's the priest in the house of the Lord, but he's got no kids. Now, one thing I will tell you about Zechariah, there's two things that I know for certain about this guy. Because he was a priest, because he was a son of God, a child of God, one that God had called and one that he was fully aware of who he was because of his nation, his people, and himself being chosen by God. He had been praying for a Messiah. You know how I know that? Because that's what all the Jews did. Daily, sometimes more than once a day, they prayed and they prayed that God would send the Messiah, the one that would come and save his people. Now, they didn't even fully understand exactly what that all meant, but they knew that God was promising the one, and they were anticipating that Messiah as well. And the other prayer that I know Zechariah was doing was, or at least had prayed in his life, was that his wife would have a child. Because not having a child in those days, especially for women, was really, really hard. The assumption is that you're being judged by God for something, that you did something wrong, and so God is withholding this most amazing blessing from you, this blessing that is all wrapped up in the future of God's people, the command that God gave to Adam and Eve way in the Garden of Eden of be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And the Jews took that very seriously as God's people. And for somebody to not be able to have children was a terrible burden. And you know that Zechariah, because he had no children and because his wife had no children, you know that they prayed. And then we get into the text for today. Zechariah is in the temple and he's getting ready to burn the incense, as my dad said. It smells good, kind of. But it's an image, actually, of the prayers of the people. That when the people of God come before God and they pray to him, then they ask him for things, and when they glorify him for the things that God has already given them and done, that it comes up before God as a beautiful smelling aroma, and that the symbol of those prayers is that they would then burn incense, and it was something that would remind the people of how God viewed them and their prayers. He would only get to do this probably once in his life. Thing is that there was a lot of priests, you know, all the children of Aaron. That's a lot of priests, right? And what they did is they divided them up into groups, and Zechariah was part of the priestly division of Abijah. And so when Abijah, the group, was in charge, when they were the ones responsible for carrying on the temple duties, they would select people from that group to burn the incense and to do other functions. And this was a really big deal, and this was probably his only time alive when he was going to get to do it. So you can imagine, I mean, this is a really big deal for a priest. I mean, not all the priests even got to do it, right? And so you're standing there and you're burning the incense and you're trying to make sure you do everything just right, because it's not like it's something you do every day. And then God throws him a curveball. An angel appears. And angels, as they always do, first words out of their mouth is, "Don't be afraid," which implies what? Angels are scary. That's what I want you to know. I mean, they're a little fearsome, they're a little powerful, and they will make you afraid. All right. So Gabriel appears to Zechariah. He says, "Do not be afraid." And the next words he says, "Your prayers have been heard." Now it says your prayer, singular, has been heard. Now, this is a fascinating thing, because now this is a point where all the theologians can argue, right? Because how many prayers has he done, at least that we know of, the ones that would really apply to this verse? Two, right? One is for the Messiah, and the other one is for a child. Well, here's the thing. Which one did God answer? Both. All at once. In one fell swoop. Isn't that amazing? I mean, he says, okay, you're going to have a son, And your son is going to be that Elijah, that one that work that that ministers in the power and in the spirit of Elijah, the forerunner of the Christ. What a crazy thing that is, huh? I mean, think about that. How long ago do you think he stopped praying for a child? You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you get to a certain point in life and you realize, okay, this is just not going to happen. I mean, Zechariah even said it. He said it very politely, but he said, my wife is well advanced in years, which is to say, it ain't happening. You know, I mean, that's just not a thing. And this is great. Zechariah, he asked the question that any of us would ask. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when God promises something, you know, that's possible, you know, at least in our brains, we think, okay, we're okay with that, right? Like when God tells an army, I'm going to make sure you win this battle. Okay, that's within the realm of possible, right? I mean, I have an army, they have an army, we can win this, right? But when God tells you an old man and an old woman that they're going to have a baby, this happened once before, didn't it? I mean, it was like Abraham, right? And Sarah, who became Sarai, Sarai, who became Sarah. That's one of those. Anyway, the thing is, though, is that did they believe it any better? I mean, what did Sarah do? Laughed, yeah. I mean, because that's absurd. So this isn't like, it's not an easy thing to believe. And so Zechariah's question, I just love the way he phrased it. He says, how shall I know this? Right? Now, answer the question, how shall he know this? An angel is standing in front of him telling him this. Right? I mean, like, how much more do you need? I mean, it's like, it's right there. How do you deny the fact that God is speaking to you through this incredible celestial being who has just scared you to death? Right? But it was hard enough for him to believe it that he asked the question, how shall I know this? Now, was Gabriel real thrilled with that question? No. Okay, this is an important thing for you to know. If an angel ever appears to you, okay, and you ask a stupid question, and the angel said, my name is Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of the Lord, you've messed up. You did something wrong. And, you know, Zechariah could have been punished in many ways. You know, he could have been like, that's it, you're out of the book. You ain't going to heaven anymore. You could have been like, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to pick somebody else to have the forerunner. It could have been a whole bunch of things. But what did the angel say was Zechariah's consequence? I love this. Silence. Now, how serious of a punishment was that? I mean, let's face it, Elizabeth might have even liked it. We're not talking about like lifelong maiming. We're not talking about, you know, anything. We are talking about something that's going to be a real pain in the neck, right? I mean, something that's going to be a real thorn in his foot and his toe for a long time here, because man, this is going to be really hard walking around not being able to speak. He was a priest. It's like being a pastor, not able to talk. It's our job, you know? I mean, what are you going to do? Well, why in the world would Gabriel pick that, or the Lord actually pick that as his consequence? What was his question? How shall I know that this is going to happen? And the angel said, you will not speak until it happens. So, if at any time in between the angel talking to Zechariah and John's birth, Zechariah starts to think maybe the whole thing was a fever dream. You know, I mean, maybe it was just maybe I ate some bad sheep or something. I don't know, whatever. I mean, how would he know that this actually happened? How would he know? He would try to ask the question and find out he couldn't, right? I mean, here's the thing, is that what God gave him as a consequence to his doubt was a constant reminder that the fact is coming. It is coming. This promise is coming. Here's the thing about Zechariah is that it was probably really annoying that he couldn't talk, but every time he couldn't talk, he was probably filled with happiness, joy, because what that meant is everything that the angel said is true. That my son is coming, my child, and he is going to be very special in the eyes of God. That he is going to have a very specific job, and his job is to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children of the children to the fathers, that his job is to prepare the way for the Messiah, because this Messiah is coming. Now, does that whet your appetite toward the anticipation of this Christmas? The Messiah, the one that they were waiting for, is coming. The one who has come now. The one who redeemed us. The one who lived for us and died for us and rose for us. Ascends into heaven for us. Sits at the right hand of the Father for us. Preparing a place for us. And one day he will return again for us. And so just as we anticipate the coming of Christ the first time, in our memories and our knowing that God did this, we remember the anticipation that we experience today. And trust me, this is an anticipation for Christians. And the longer we live in this world, and the more we see of this world, and the more dysfunction we see, and the more people we see hurt, and the more trouble and problems, and the more our bodies break down, and we realize that we aren't going to, that these bodies don't last forever, except we know that they actually do because of what Jesus did. We anticipate the day when everything is set right, when our feet no longer hurt, when our joints don't ache, you know, when our hair doesn't fall out. All the things that bother us today will be gone, and we will live in the house of the Lord forever, all because God set everything in place for his son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one to whom we pray, and that you hear us and that you remember our prayers and sometimes answer them in the most insane ways, completely out of time, completely out of place, Lord. But because you are God, you do as you please and your plans are wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us this season of anticipation as we wait for your first coming and as we wait for your second coming, knowing that this gets better from here. All this we bring to you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. As we are continuing our service, we are going to collect the offering. And as the offering is collected, we are going to be singing. And this is a song, I love this song. It kind of a song that roots us to the history of all Christianity and all of God's people throughout time. That all we have always been a people of the book, a people of God's word, a people listening to the word that God has written in the pages of his scripture. And the God who is the word, you know. And so we cling to those precious words. Even though they've been around a long time, maybe even because they've been around a long time, but because they're from him.
Oh, let the ancient words in.
So, my friends, we have heard from God's word. We sing God's word in the songs today. And the question I have for you is this: how do we accept this message? You know, I mean, how do we believe? How are we members of his church? What binds us together? Who binds us together? What does this church do? And what do we have to look forward to? All answered in the creed for today, in the meaning of the article, of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. So please stand as we confess our God's revelation for us in this creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives me sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Outstanding. My friends, please be seated. And at this time, we have been struggling to schedule this. Our youth ministry went on a mission trip in June, and we're just getting around to telling you about it now. It's been a wrestle, but we're doing it today. And so first of all, we want you to see a video of some of the things that they experienced, and then we're going to have one of our adult leaders who went on the trip. It seems so strange to call him that. I took him on these trips. Anyway, but yes, one of our adult leaders is going to come forward and tell us about it. It's going to be Andrew Teuscher, and he's just going to come up after the video then. So enjoy.
Good morning. Hello, my name is Andrew Teuscher, and for those who don't know me, I am currently the 6th to 8th grade Sunday school teacher here and have been a member here my entire life. And with all the many great ministries that have been at this church during my time, I think the high school youth group has certainly had the biggest impact on my personal life. During my time in the high school ministry, I matured in my faith, solidified my Christian values, and got to know the girl who is now my wife. The annual mission trip to the Navajo Reservation in Arizona was an essential link in the chain of my high school youth experience. This summer, I went on this trip as a leader for the first time, and it reminded me why all young Christians need an experience like this. Despite my appearance, I am not a high schooler and am indeed old enough to be on the trip as a leader. After four previous trips to Arizona as a youth, Jackie, Sherry, and Bob asked me to help lead the trip. Initially, I didn't even think I was old enough to be in consideration, and as a school teacher, I did not want to give up my summer break to spend 10 days with kids. After contemplating, I told myself going was the right thing to do, and I didn't actually have a good enough excuse to tell the ever-persistent Sherry Haas no. I don't even think she's here today to hear that. With everyone set to go, of course, every great church event has to have a snag somewhere. Unfortunately, the snag of this event was more like a giant tear. Within 24 hours of departure, we learned that our beloved pastor tested positive for COVID and could not come along. Anyone who has been on this trip knows that Pastor Bob is the one who actually teaches everyone how to do the work on the construction site, and the other adults just ensure that no child accidentally hits their friend with a hammer. Lucky for us, the Lord blessed us with Jake Petrie and his incredible wife, who made it possible for Jake to fill Bob's role seamlessly. After this bump in the road, God allowed this trip to go as smoothly as we could have hoped. Us leaders constantly told ourselves how lucky we were to have this group of youth members on this trip. They were constantly respectful towards each other and everyone they encountered. They did all they were asked of. They did not even complain when they were told that their jobs would be to shovel gravel and dig a foundation in the middle of the desert. Bugs would also be swarming around, and there was no running water. Luckily, we learned the Navajo had a trick for keeping the bugs away. Sadly, we learned that the trick was to burn a nearby pile of horse poop. The mission that these high school youth chose to accept was to give up their summer and go to the Arizona desert to help total strangers build or repair their homes. Prior to actually embarking on this adventure, they also had to fundraise enough money to pay their way to Arizona. They successfully and respectfully hurdled all of these obstacles with great attitudes. Obviously, good behavior on the trip was appreciated, but having respectful youth was not the goal of this trip. On top of helping those in need, the primary mission of this trip was for the group of young adults to grow and have experiences that would root their Christian faith for the rest of their lives. Fortunately, I can confidently say that this goal was achieved. Without ignoring the plank in my own eye, I think it's fair to say that kids of this generation have a tendency to spend too much of their time buried in their phones and reserving their time and efforts towards their own interests. Those two things were not options on this trip. It helped that the reception was spotty in the desert, but these kids were also pulled into a situation that kept them busy. They were constantly reminded prior to and on the trip that they needed to focus on the needs of others. These terrific kids accepted this challenge and flourished. Serving as beacons of God's love, they connected with everyone around them. One of the most fun connections on this trip was with the owner of one of the properties we worked on. His name was Ernie, and that's the gentleman you see right there in the wonderful little, I don't even know what to call that around his head, but it made him look like a turtle, and we kept calling him a turtle, and he loved it. I was told that Ernie and his wife typically kept to themselves and seemed grumpy. At the beginning of the first day, we saw this side of Ernie. He quickly warmed up to our group, though. By the end of the trip, Ernie was gathering everyone at the worksite to pose us like he was a professional photographer. His wife, who never said a word, went out of her way to pause working on her own house so that she could make us Spam sandwiches to show her gratitude. I still get Facebook messages today from Ernie. He asked me about my day and gives me updates about the house that we worked on. Our quiet group and Ernie's quiet family were a perfect match. The kids realized that Ernie was not intimidating and began to chat him up. They learned that about his upbringing, what he did for fun, and most important, how much he trusts God. The beauty of this trip is that the kids are dropped into a situation that is different from what they see every day. The uncomfortable setting of the Arizona desert made the kids more comfortable with opening up. There was no pressure to seem cool in front of their friends. They were encouraged to be genuine and to let their guard down so they could serve others. It was incredible to see both Ernie and the youth do this simultaneously. Both parties realized they had a true connection with each other. They both realized they were one and the same. That is, that they are children of Christ. Through this relationship, they could set aside their own interests and help one another. Ernie was afraid of opening up and accepting help, and the youth didn't want to open up and do something new. Everyone grew together. Ernie and the youth were only able to have this revelation because of God's Holy Spirit working in them. Living with a routine in this earthly world, it is hard to see God in our lives. As these teens broke away from their everyday lives, they were finally able to experience selfless servitude. They saw poverty as they had never seen before. In the struggles of others, they witnessed the gratefulness of Ernie and his family. They realized how lucky they were to have comfort. They gazed upon the merciful hand of God. They saw how they can give from themselves to help a fellow child of Christ. The high school youth brought home with them experiences that will shape them forever. They were only able to have these adventures because of the support from this congregation. For this, we thank all of you. This trip would not be possible without your offering and emotional support. God's church needs its body to do his works. Please keep doing his work. And please keep helping these incredible young adults join by your side. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. One of the really amazing blessings of being in one place for a while is that I get to see people grow and change. And three of the adults that went on this trip, we've taken as kids on this trip. Pretty amazing stuff. And God has blessed our congregation with some really amazing people, and he has given us incredible opportunities to serve him and to raise the faith up in the next generation. And we get to see this. It's a little frustrating for me. You know, every once in a while you have a problem with God, you know, because he does something you're not real thrilled with, right? Like when he takes my really, really awesome kids and has them be very active members in other congregations. How rude, you know? I did that. Anyway, no. The thing is that, but it is really, really wonderful to be able to have some of our own right here. So yeah, Jackie, us, Jake Petrie, and Andrew Toysher all were all long lifetime members of St. Mark's and went through our youth group. So praise the Lord for all of that. All right, with that then, let us continue our worship service by praying. So please stand as we pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, you have blessed us once again with a day that we can have to praise you, to learn about you, to spend in your presence, to be blessed by you, to be forgiven by you, to be strengthened by you, and to be used by you, Lord, once again in this world. I pray that you would continue to give us the strength, the faithfulness, the faith, Lord, that we need to live as your people. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with these young people who went on this mission trip, that you would continue to use these experiences, use your word, Lord, to grow them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be within each and every one of our church members, Lord, with the families that attend our school, with the moms that are in our MOPS, with the people who attend our blind ministry, Lord, for the people that we serve in our community that are not members, Lord, but are desperately in need of your love and your care. Lord, all the people who are connected to St. Mark's in any way, continue to be with them, strengthen them, help them, Lord, to know you as you are, and help us, Lord, to freely and transparently show you for who you are. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen us as a congregation, Lord. Help us, Lord, as we serve you together, as we do your work in this community. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen all of us in our ministry, that we would have our eyes open and our ears open to hear your work and to see the people who are in need so that we can stop and intervene in their lives, Lord, that we can help them with the love that you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do your work through us. Lord, all these things we bring you, Lord. We also bring you those who are sick, Lord, those who are struggling, those who are recovering from surgery, Lord. Especially we pray for Sandra Canada, Lord, and Mary Borgschulte as they are fighting infections. I pray that you would help them to have healing so that they can return to the lives, Lord, and the families that you've given them to love. All these things, Lord, we bring to you in your holy name. And we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, wish that for love is passing by.
Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live.
Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain.
So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live.
Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Remember when you walk, sometimes you fall.
So follow Jesus, follow Jesus, follow Jesus and live.
Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with. If your sky is dark and pours the rain,
then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus.
And when the love spills over and music fills the night,
having received this very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What an incredible statement that is, a sentence. We just let it roll off our tongue so easily, but we have just received the very body and blood of God, the creator of the universe, the one who made everything, that God. We've received him, and in that, he promises to give us life and salvation. So with that promise and our faith in him, depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up and sing the final song together, folks. This is our last chance to praise God this week. Well, not really. You can praise God in your car, but the last time that you can praise God here this week. Let's do it.
Redeemer, Emmanuel. His blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled, and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name of the Lord.
Announcement for you this morning. First of all, Bible studies are going to begin again on Sunday morning next week. This week we're taking a fallow week, basically give all the Sunday school teachers and everybody a chance to recover after hosting or traveling over Thanksgiving. The other thing is Wednesday Advent. Oh, if you guys look at the just not the back, but the inside cover, all the services for this Christmas season are listed in there. Learn them, inwardly digest them, and then share them with people around you so that we can have basically invite people to come and be a part of it. This Wednesday, I lied. I said this is the last chance to praise God this week, and it's not. Pastor lied in church. That's just wrong. Anyway, the thing is on Wednesday, we're having Advent service at 7 o'clock. Before that, we're having potluck at 6 o'clock. And before that, we're having, Advent service for early bedtimes. In other words, the little ones have their Advent service and craft at 5:30. All right, so that's how it all goes. We're having the potluck is right in between, so the families that come early can stay for the potluck, and the people who come for the main service can come early for the potluck. Does that make sense? Okay, good. That almost made sense for me, too. All right, and then the other thing, thank you so much for all the people who took part in decorating. It took a lot of hands to do all this work, and I'm just so grateful for it. But Lauren needs a little help finishing the decorating, because there's some boxes way up there that need to go down so that we can decorate the office. So if anybody after the service, young people that want to run up and down stairways carrying boxes, don't run. Lauren could use your help after the service. And with that, I think that's everything I got. Advent stuff. Advent devotions are in the back. They look like this. All right. And so you can find them on a table back there. And we have an Advent calendar as well. And the Advent calendar basically every day tells a little bit of the story of Christmas. And so it's kind of a cool thing as well. So with that, God's blessings on your week, and I will see you in the very back of the church.